produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Welcome to another episode of Power Up Your Family. This is Richard Floyd. Good to be back with you once again. This has been a wonderful weekend as we are now approaching the end of the month of May. It's been just a great, great weekend. We've had a conference for our church here locally, and I was given the opportunity to be one of the speakers yesterday at the Saturday session. And I was asked to talk about the blessings of the Temple Open House. And it was quite a remarkable experience, those 7 days as we experienced the open house for our new temple here in the Memphis area. And as I was able to share some experiences with the congregation at our conference, it reminded me of the simple truth that we as children of our Father in Heaven have unique opportunities afforded to us in life. I believe very strongly that there are no coincidences, that life is filled with many, many tender mercies of the Lord. And certainly we had our fair share of those in the course of the Temple Open House. Another great blessing that occurred yesterday, Saturday, was that my wife and I were able to attend the temple, the brand new rededicated Memphis, Tennessee temple, and partake of sacred ordinances therein. Now, as we participated in those ordinances, I observed that we hadn't reached a capacity in attendance. And it reminded me a little bit of a parable, of a story that I came across some time ago about this rich man who had come across this beautiful, beautiful gemstone. It was a ruby. And he was so anxious to have it on display so that others could see the beauty of the ruby and enjoy its great and beautiful appearance. So he had the finest craftsman to build a wooden box that was amazingly beautiful and had a red velvet lining and a beautiful velvet pillow. And so he put the ruby on display, and people came from far and wide to view the ruby. And yet when he realized what was happening is that people weren't watching and looking at the ruby, they were admiring the beautiful craftsmanship of the box. And I thought about that as an analogy. During the several days of our temple open house, we had over 10,000 visitors, many of our faith, many, many not of our faith. And it was interesting to hear the comments and to witness the amazing response by so many people as they enjoyed the beauty and the majesty of the building, the temple. And yesterday I was reminded of this story because we truly had experienced seeing and witnessing the beauty of the box. But I recognized yesterday that not all of us had fully grasped the benefit of the more important gem, which is the ruby, that which goes on inside of the house of the Lord, where the redeeming ordinances of the gospel are provided for both the living and for the dead. And so, as I was reminded of that yesterday, it gave me pause to think a little bit about our progress in this mortal experience and the importance of our families, that the walls of our home, obviously, are like the box, but the home, the real ruby of the home, of course, is the individual members of the family within a home. And so as we had a session of our conference today, the theme of that conference was about a new curriculum that we have within our faith. And it's based on a curriculum called Come, Follow Me, for individuals and families, living, learning, and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our area of focus with this curriculum is the New Testament and the life and mortal ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in the course of taking advantage of this curriculum, the church made a very momentous decision this past year, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For many years, we've had what was called the three-hour block of meetings. We would have a sacrament meeting or worship service that would last for an hour and 10 minutes, followed by a 10-minute transition period with a 45-minute or so Sunday school period with another transition period where there would be adult sessions for both the men and the women for a total of 3 hours of worship, including the youth and the primary children or junior Sunday school. In this past year, however, it was announced that we wanted to move toward a more home-centered study and worship of the Savior. And so our church meetings were reduced to a 2-hour block of meetings where we have our worship service for 1 hour. And the remaining hour is a transition period and an alternating schedule each week of Sunday school for the adults and the adult sessions for the adults, for the men and the women, alternating each and every other week, thus allowing an extra hour each Sabbath day for families to gather together to study this wonderful curriculum that we call Come Follow Me. It's a great resource for gaining an understanding of our Savior Jesus Christ and for learning these great principles and doctrine of the kingdom so that we can power up our families, if you will. Now, in the very beginning of the manual, there is a section about conversion is our goal. Now, what do we mean by conversion? We're not talking about conversion specifically to a faith or to a religion. We're talking about the conversion that helps us to become more like Jesus Christ. I'll read a portion of this introduction. It says, the aim of all gospel learning and teaching is to deepen our conversion and help us become more like Jesus Christ. For this reason, when we study the gospel, we're not just looking for new information. We want to become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means relying on Christ to change our hearts, our views, our actions, and our very natures. But the kind of gospel learning that strengthens our faith and leads to the miraculous change of conversion doesn't happen all at once. It extends beyond a classroom into an individual's heart and home. It requires consistent, daily efforts to understand and live the gospel. True conversion requires the influence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost guides us to the truth and bears witness of that truth. John 16:13. He enlightens our minds, quickens our understanding, and touches our hearts with revelation from God, the source of all truth. The Holy Ghost purifies our hearts. He inspires in us a desire to live by truth, and he whispers to us ways to do this. Truly, the Holy Ghost shall teach us all things. John 14:26. For these reasons, in our efforts to live, learn, and teach the gospel, we should first and foremost seek the companionship of the Spirit. This goal should govern our choices and guide our thoughts and actions. We should seek after whatever invites the influence of the Spirit and reject whatever drives that influence away. For we know that if we can be worthy of the presence of the Holy Ghost, we can also be worthy to live in the presence of Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is a powerful, powerful introduction to this wonderful curriculum. And so conversion is our goal, not conversion to a doctrine or to a particular religion, but conversion that brings us in harmony with Jesus Christ and His teachings so that we can become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And that through that process, our hearts, our views, our actions, and our very nature are transformed. Now, in utilizing any curriculum or course of study, it's important to be able to have certain goals as we achieve the study and the understanding of what's being presented to us. But here are some ways that are suggested to help us enhance our study of the Word of God found in Scriptures. For example, look for truths about Jesus Christ. The Scriptures teach us that all things testify of Christ. We find this actually a scripture reference in the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi 11 and 4. So look for him in the events, stories, and teachings of the New Testament. Consider noting or marking verses to teach about the Savior and how to follow him. Look for inspiring words and phrases. You may find that certain words and phrases in the Scriptures impress you, as if they were written specifically for you. They may feel personally relevant and inspire and motivate you. Consider marking them in your Scriptures or writing them in a study journal. Look for gospel truths. Sometimes gospel truths, often called doctrine or principles, are stated directly, and sometimes they are implied through an example or story. Ask yourself, what eternal truths are taught in these verses? Listen to the Spirit. Pay attention to your thoughts and feelings, even if they are unrelated to what you're reading. Those impressions may be the very things that your Heavenly Father wants you to learn. Liken the Scriptures to your life. Consider how the stories and teachings you are reading apply to your life. For example, you could ask yourself, what experiences have I had that are similar to what I'm reading? Or, how can I follow the example of this person in the Scriptures? Ask questions as you study. As you study the Scriptures, questions may come to mind. These questions might relate to what you are reading or to your life in general. Ponder these questions and look for answers as you continue studying the Scriptures. How can I relate to some of those principles? As I've had the experience of reading Scriptures, I'm always amazed that when I can go back and at a subsequent reading of those very same Scriptures, there always seems to be a new insight, a new understanding, additional revelation, if you will, as to an application of that scripture to my own personal life or in the life of those who that I may have a responsibility to or to my family members. So this opportunity is very, very enhancing of our ability to gain an understanding of the Savior, apply his teachings and example in our own lives. Moving on, though, there are some additional steps here. Use scripture study helps. To gain additional insights into the verses you read, use the footnotes, the topical guide, the Bible dictionary, the guide to the Scriptures, and other study helps. Here's a big one. Record your thoughts and feelings. There are many ways to record the impressions that come as you study. For example, you could mark a meaningful word or phrase and record your thoughts as a note in your Scriptures. You could also keep a journal of the insights, feelings, and impressions you receive. Study the words of Latter-day prophets and apostles. Read what Latter-day prophets and apostles have taught about the principles you find in the Scriptures. Share insights. Discussing insights from your personal study is not only a good way to teach others, but it also helps strengthen your understanding of what you have read. Live by what you learn. Scripture study should not only inspire us, it should lead us to change the way we live. Listen to what the Spirit prompts you to do as you read, and then commit to act on those promptings. A former president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a prophet, seer, and revelator by the name of Thomas S. Monson, has said, "As we read and ponder the Scriptures, we will experience the sweet whisperings of the Spirit to our souls. We can find answers to our questions. We learn of the blessings which come through keeping God's commandments. We gain a sure testimony of our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of their love for us. When scripture study is combined with our prayers, we can of a certainty know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. as we remember prayer and take time to turn to the scriptures, our lives will be infinitely more blessed and our burdens will be made lighter. So, as I was pondering some of this earlier, I went back to our April 2019 conference and some of the talks that were given during that conference. And the president of our church present time is President Russell M. Nelson, 93-year-old man who has literally is traveling the world and ministering to the Latter-day Saints throughout the 16-plus million members of the church throughout the entire world. He's currently on a trip throughout the Pacific Rim and is visiting members throughout the areas of Samoa and New Zealand and Australia and other areas as well. 93 years old and just like the Energizer Bunny. But in April conference, he gave a talk entitled, Come, Follow Me, which of course is the name of this curriculum that we've been discussing. In that talk, he shared a number of principles. First of all, he talked about a very tender and personal experience that he and his wife had experienced. As many of you know, our family experienced a tender separation 3 months ago when our daughter Wendy departed from this mortal life. In the final days of her battle with cancer, I was blessed with the opportunity to have our farewell daddy-daughter conversation. I held her hands and told her how much I loved her and how grateful I was to be her father. I said, quote, you married in the temple and faithfully honored your covenants. You and your husband welcomed 7 children into your home and raised them to be devout disciples of Jesus Christ, valiant church members, and contributing citizens. And they have chosen spouses of that same caliber. Your daddy is very proud of you. You have brought me much joy. She quietly responded, thank you, Daddy. It was a tender, tearful moment for us. During her 67 years, we worked together, sang together, and often skied together. That evening, we talked of things that matter most, such as covenants, ordinances, obedience, faith, family, fidelity, love, and eternal life. We miss our daughter greatly. However, because of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, we do not worry about her. As we continue to honor our covenants with God, we live in anticipation of our being with her again. Meanwhile, we're serving the Lord here, and she is serving him there in paradise. Now, when he talks about paradise, in his talk, he talked about how they had visited Paradise, California, after the massive fires that occurred there. He talked about visiting with a young police officer who was one of the many brave first responders and how he had been very involved in saving and helping others, but for 15 hours of driving through an impenetrable darkness, he helped person after person, family after family, escape to safety, all at the peril of his own life. And yet during that strenuous ordeal, what terrified John most, this young man, was this all-consuming question, where is my family? After many long, terrifying hours of anguish, he finally learned of their evacuation. The account of John's concern for his family has prompted me, this is President Nelson speaking again, to speak today with those of you who may ask when approaching the end of your mortal life, where is my family? In that coming day when you will be complete your mortal probation and enter the spirit world, you will be brought face to face with that heart-wrenching question, where is my family? Jesus Christ teaches the way back to our eternal home. He understands our Heavenly Father's plan of eternal progression better than any of us. After all, He is the keystone of it all. He is our Redeemer, our Healer, and our Savior. Ever since Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, Jesus the Christ has offered His mighty arm to help all who choose to follow Him. Repeatedly, scriptures record that despite all kinds of sins from all kinds of people, His arms are outstretched still. The Spirit in each of us naturally yearns for family love to last forever. Love songs perpetuate a false hope that love is all you need if you want to be together forever. And some erroneously believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides a promise that all people will be with their loved ones after death. In truth, the Savior Himself has made it abundantly clear that while His resurrection assures that every person who ever lived will indeed be resurrected and live forever, much more is required if we want to have the high privilege of exaltation. Salvation is an individual matter, but exaltation is a family matter. Listen to these words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to His prophet. All covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations that are not made and entered into and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise are of no efficacy, virtue, or force in or and after the resurrection from the dead. For all contracts that are not made unto this end have an end when men are dead. So, what is required for a family to be exalted forever? You qualify for that privilege by making covenants with God, keeping those covenants, and receiving essential ordinances. I might add, in the house of the Lord, in the holy temple. This has been true ever since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, Noah and his wife, Abraham and Sarah, Lehi and Sariah, and all other devoted disciples of Jesus Christ since the world was created, have made the same covenants with God. They received the same ordinances that we as members of the Lord's restored church today have made. Those covenants that we receive at baptism and in the temple. The Savior invites all to follow Him into the waters of baptism and in time to make additional covenants with God in the temple and receive and be faithful to those further essential ordinances. All these are required if we want to be exalted with our families and with God forever. Anguish of my heart, this is President Nelson speaking, the anguish of my heart is that many people whom I love, whom I admire, and whom I respect decline His invitation. They ignore the pleadings of Jesus Christ when He beckons, "Come, follow me." I understand why God weeps. I also weep for such friends and relatives. They are wonderful men and women, devoted to their family and civic responsibilities. They give generously of their time, energy, and resources, and the world is better for their efforts. But they have chosen not to make covenants with God. They have not received the ordinances that will exalt them with their families and bind them together forever. How I wish I could visit with them and invite them to consider seriously the enabling laws of the Lord. I've wondered what I could possibly say so they would feel how much the Savior loves them and know how much I love them and come to recognize how covenant-keeping women and men can receive a fullness of joy. They need to understand that while there is a place for them hereafter, with wonderful men and women who also choose not to make covenants with God, this is not the place where families will be reunited and be given the privilege to live and progress forever. This is not the kingdom where they will experience the fullness of joy, of never-ending progression and happiness. Those consummate blessings can come only by living in an exalted celestial realm with God, our eternal Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and our wonderful, worthy, and qualified family members. I feel to say to my reticent friends, quote, In this life, you have never settled for second best in anything. Yet, as you resist fully embracing the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, you are choosing to settle for second best. The Savior said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." However, as you choose not to make covenants with God, you're settling for a most meager roof over your head throughout all eternity. I would further entreat my reticent friends by saying, quote, pour out your heart to God. Ask him if these things are true. Make time to study his words. Really study. If you truly love your family and if you desire to be exalted with them throughout eternity, pay the price now. Through serious study and fervent prayer, to know these eternal truths and then to abide by them. If you're not sure you even believe in God, start there. Understand that in the absence of experiences with God, one can doubt the existence of God. So put yourself in a position to begin having experiences with him. Humble yourself. Pray to have eyes to see God's hand in your life and the world around you. Ask him to tell you if he really is there. If he knows you, ask him how he feels about you, and then listen. My dear friends, it is my humble prayer and desire that each of us might truly experience the joy of exalted family living in the hereafters. But I would testify to you that God has provided the means whereby we can live eternally with our families. It's my testimony to you that that plan includes the opportunity for a husband and wife to be married for not till death do them part, but for all time and eternity, forever, and that the family unit can be sealed together for all time and eternity, or forever. It is my hope, my prayer, that as we seek to power up our families in this mortal experience, that we might have an eye to the future and know that eternally we can remain as a family. I love each of you. I wish the very best for you as we enter into this spring and summer season, knowing that there will be many opportunities for family activities and family functions. May you be blessed and may you travel safely is my humble prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.